Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon. That is for sure. Folks, I got to tell you, we have demonstrated in a robust manner that when Congress decides that they no longer want to be responsible to the American people, that we can pick up the phone and we can scare the bejesus out of our members of Congress. We need to continue to do that. And we're going to talk more about that later. But right now, we're going to talk about education. And to help us do that, we've got Kevin Hickerson. He is with the Fairfax Education Association. Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Charles. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, brother. Hey, you know, I got to tell you, one of the things that I really like about this program is we get out all across the United States. I mean, we're not broadcasting on all of our radio stations right this second, but we're going to be replayed either later on today or next day. One of the places that we get replayed is Grand Rapids, Michigan, home of Teamsters Local 406, Work in Progress Radio, Community Action Teams, and we've got a lot of friends up there, a lot of really active community people. It's, you know, it's an upscale neighborhood, and it skews a little bit more Republican, but it's a great town. I mean, they have those robust discussions. And one of the people that we know, or, you know, we know that at least one set of people, and I'm going to get to them in a second, listen to this program, or they have surrogates listening to this program on a regular basis because we get feedback, either through us or through our friends in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And that's the Amway family, Betsy DeVos.
Yes. Yeah, it's scary to have her being nominated for education secretary. That's for sure.
I'm sorry, Kevin, you are a gentleman and you are being kind. I have my opinion. Okay. And if you will allow me, please, I'm going to express that. I think it's malfeasance. Okay. That's me. That's my opinion. I believe that if taxpayers are paying for education, and we as a nation collectively have decided that public education is a great thing, and we're going to do it, and we're going to support it, and we're going to educate all children in this country. Anybody who wants to throw a wrench in that, who wants to interrupt that, who wants to lessen that, is not somebody I care for. At least on this issue. But to do it for personal profit, that person, I am ashamed to say, is just really not the kind of person we need running the Department of Education.
Sure. You know, President-elect Trump was on the campaign trail, he was talking about draining the swamp. Well, he's actually stocked it quite full with the alligators here in public education. You know, she absolutely has no public education background, nothing, not a drop of public education background. She makes Arne Duncan look superior in that notion. She's gutted Michigan schools. Our brothers and sisters up there in Michigan could probably tell us great horror stories about
mm-hmm.
it. She's definitely somebody you don't want in charge, and yet here we have her as the Secretary of Education. So, to me, this is like your word malfeasance is great. It's irresponsible. Our public school systems is a national underpinning of this country that we absolutely rely on to make our country the best, one of the best in the world. And so, to me, It's absolutely essential to have public education, to have somebody in control at the national level that will be promoting it instead of demoting it.
Right. And Kevin, here's one of the things I want to say to you. You know, hey, you're with the NEA, and we talked to Steve Cook, who is the Michigan Education Association state president.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's a great guy. And he said, you know what? They were able to beat it back. they were able to educate the public, the moms and the dads, the next door neighbors who may have kids in school or may not have kids in school. The store owner down the street, the business owner that, you know, they do manufacturing and other things across town. They were able to educate people, and they were able to bring it to relevance. And one of the things, you know, it's important anytime you're having the conversation, what's in it for them? What's in it for the person you're talking to? You know, when it comes to business people, you know, a good, solid public education means that when people graduate from high school, they are ready and prepared to learn how to do the job that you need them to do.
Correct.
Okay? And they were able to beat it back, and we need to educate the moms and the dads and everybody else in this country and say, Betsy DeVos doesn't care about your kids in school. She's looking to privatize it to make it a for-profit center. And quite frankly, that is the last thing that we need to do to our children in this country, period. End of question.
Most certainly. And, you know, the big thing is that with her education proposal and especially with charters, you know, we're talking about the sanctity of educating our children and making sure that they have the essential tools necessary to be productive citizens, right? Well, she doesn't care about that. And one of the ways she doesn't care about that is that she doesn't care about oversight. If you think about Michigan's charter schools, you know, one of the things that they don't have is a good oversight. And actually, did you know that about 80% of the charters in Michigan are run by private companies in Michigan?
Right. And it's a for-profit thing. I mean, you know, this it's an easy way to make $7,000 or right. Whatever it is in the state. You know, some states it's a little bit higher per student. Some other states it's a little bit lower. But, you know, it's an easy way to make money off the taxpayers. They deliberately set it up. And Betsy DeVos, I understand, is one of these people that tries to do this, where they say, oh, no, these private for-profit organizations are not responsible to the taxpayers. They're not responsible to the parents. They don't have to explain themselves to the students. They don't have to explain themselves to the community. They could do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, and that's their own purview, and they're a private organization, so we, as you know, they can do whatever they want, and you don't have any right to know.
Sure, and you know, there's countless horror stories of private charter schools around the country where children go to school 1 week, and then next week they find that the doors are locked, because the private company does not want to educate their children anymore. So where do those children go? Where do they just go back to, you know, the public school that has been, you know, pillaged and plundered by the for-profit company, and they have to go back, and now the resources there are stressed out from the teachers all the way down to the school resources and supplies. That's what we're looking at here, is that there's really no accountability for these private charter schools that Betsy wants to put in. And to me, that's a travesty. And it's something that you're correct, Charles, that we need to go individually, one by one, to talk to parents and to our students, and to tell them that they are not getting a good deal out of this at
right,
all.
Right. And remember, folks, and I know that they use things like school choice and higher education and all this kind of, and all these other buzzwords that make it wonderful. But folks, you need to understand, when they say school choice, that means the school chooses whether or not they take your child and whether or not they keep your child. And quite honestly, oftentimes they get the full amount of money from the taxpayers day one, and they don't reimburse the taxpayers if that student leaves. Or is forced out.
And that's the beautiful thing. They can, you know, they can pick what kids they want. They can kick what kids they want out. And you're correct. They keep the money.
Right. And you want to talk about horror stories? You want to talk about the fines that these people are leveling on families? Yeah. The school fines the family. That's another story. Listen, Steve, we got to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. I understand the zombie apocalypse is coming.
You're definitely correct. Virginia's own zombie apocalypse is coming on education.
There we go. Kevin, we'll be right back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
The third lawsuit against the Missouri Department of Corrections in 2 months has been filed. The MacArthur Justice Center alleges the parole system violates the constitutional rights of young offenders. Citing a series of recent U.S. Supreme Court rulings, the suit argues that inmates who were sentenced for crimes committed as children require special consideration by the state's parole board. Mae Quinn, director of the MacArthur Justice Center, says young offenders are given a one-sided 15 to 20-minute interrogation by board members and prison staff without any real consideration of modern brain science, adolescent development, or the impact that trauma has had on them.
We also argue that the practices, not just for juveniles, but for all offenders who see the parole board in Missouri, fail to comply with Missouri law and statute, that for too long they've gotten very lax in their practices. There hasn't been a lot of check on their practices.
The lawsuit takes the state to task for prohibiting inmates from reviewing evidence against them prior to or during their hearings and making the defendants choose between having a lawyer or a witness present. State typically doesn't comment on pending litigation. Quinn says the culture and climate of the prison system has allowed the legal rights of inmates to be trampled on.
The Missouri Department of Corrections has become what is seen as a pretty dysfunctional system where those who want to speak up about problematic practices are met with retaliation. We see that with regard to our clients, but it's even happening with regard to staff within the facility.
Quinn says when it comes to young offenders, they must be considered as children.
They're not miniature adults. Processes, practices, hearings all need to take account of this special status, this constitutional status as a child. And that's no different in the parole system, which is deciding liberty issues for these young people, whether they'll be living their lives behind bars or not.
Another class action suit filed in federal court by the MacArthur Center alleges there are around 5,000 inmates in Missouri prisons with hepatitis C, but only 5 are receiving adequate treatment. For Missouri News Service, I'm Veronica Carter.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community. Folks, please, we got a brand new website, www.theunionedge.com. From there, you can sign up for our e-activist newsletter. You can download the free app for your iPhone or your Android that will allow you to play this radio program on your smartphone anywhere in the world at any time. And we appreciate that. And also, you know, we got some really cool swag. You know, so if you need a knit cap or the fleece vest or something like that, you know. But in any case, right now we're talking with Kevin Hickerson. He is with the Northern Virginia National Education Association, or
the Fairfax Education.
Fairfax Education Association. See, this is what I do from having for many years worked with Dan Duncan. I mean, you know, Dan has always been a pillar of this program, and it's always Northern Virginia for me. Even when I go down and see you guys or the firemen or, you know, whoever, and I apologize for that. Fairfax.
No. We love our brothers and sisters, the Nova Labor Federation. We love them.
You guys, it's funny because Dan Duncan and the crew in the Northern Virginia Area Labor Federation, because you guys, the frequency of elections that you have, it's like you guys are having an election next Tuesday, right? and you're constantly out there knocking on doors and talking to people and, sure. and getting it done. And the apparatus that's been set up to do that is tremendous. And I know that Dan has just retired. He's only going to wear six different labor hats now.
he's taking one off, you know.
Yeah. You know, but the long and short of it is that you guys are having to deal with, even though you're in a very, very wealthy community of people that have done well for themselves, and God bless each and every one of them, you still have people out there that just, you know, want to do things like, quick, tell us the names and addresses of all the teachers so we can go to their homes and tell them not to teach anymore. You know, and the rest of this silliness, you know. So what's going on now?
Yeah, so, you know, this we have a short session, legislative session, coming up here in Virginia. It's roughly 60 days long. And we have what I've been terming the zombie charter school bill that is coming back up that was dangerously close to being put on the ballot last year in Virginia. You have to, for a constitutional amendment to be put on the ballot for the voters to decide, you have to have it pass the House and Senate with an election in between. And so last year, Senator Obenchain, Mark Obenchain, he's from the Shenandoah of Virginia, and he was trying to get a charter school bill passed that would have bypassed the local control of the localities to determine whether they wanted a public charter school in or out of their locality and give it right to the state to control. So it was kind of an opposite way of thinking for a Republican here to take away local control, which they always tout as a positive thing, except when it comes to various issues, and one of them being charter school placement. And so this year he is bringing it back up. It'll have to pass both the House and the Senate. We'll have to have an election in between, and then it would have to pass the House and the Senate again next year. And what we're hoping to do is we're hoping to stop it in its tracks before it reaches, next year after the election.
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's a lot of effort.
Let me see if I get this right. Mm-hmm. Let's take it out of the hands of the parents and put it in the hands of the people of the state capitol. Because obviously they know much more than what the parents and the local school board and what the students themselves really want and need. Am I getting that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so let's take it out of the hands of the parents and give it to a politician who may or may not be getting a check from one of those companies that's running these charter schools.
Well, I'm
not going to cast aspersions on whether he's getting, the checks from the charter schools or not, but there's definitely a move afoot for him to be able to, want to be able to put these private charter schools. We're talking about Betsy DeVos from before. You know, this would be a gateway to having those charter schools come in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously the folks in Northern Virginia have figured out, the folks in Fairfax County have figured out what's right for their kids, their students. In the past, how are you going to educate them? How are you going to get the word out? And how are you going to, take the facts and the truth to the parents?
Well, I mean, it's about talking. Well, one, we're going to try to activate, our members. We're trying to activate our members again. Last year, the Virginia Education Association was essential. In conjunction with a couple other groups like the PTA, in stopping this bill before it even reached the voters for a referendum. And you know, that's what it's going to have to – it's going to take all of our members again to, you know, push back. But you're right. It is – we're going to have a talk with the community again and talk with the parents and talk with, you know, other stakeholders to be able to say, you know, hey, this is not something – we want local control of deciding whether we want a charter school in our district or not.
Mm-hmm. How many members in the Virginia General Assembly do you believe are supportive of your view on this, and how many more do you think that you may have to get?
Well, I mean, you know, support is interesting. Sometimes we have, you know, we have our elections. Sometimes there's special elections. We're going to have a special election here for the state Senate, and we're going to have a couple of House of Delegate races. But, you know, it was barely defeated last time. It was, you know, it was a narrow victory for us. It's written a little bit differently this year, and so we might not get the Republican or two that we flipped this time around because of the political climate. I mean, you know, Donald Trump was just elected. I believe they're going to try to use that as some sort of, you know, hey, this is what, you know, a mandate on what we should be doing locally. So, you know, it's written differently. We may not get the same support as we did last time, but that doesn't mean we stop the fight. That
right.
You're right in terms of educating the public and educating our delegates and senators on voting against this legislation.
Absolutely. Kevin, it sounds like you get your hands full, but you got a game plan. You know what needs to be done.
I hope the game plan is correct and that we are going to execute it right.
Well, if there's anything at all we can do, you know that you can count on us. That's right. For sure, I hope.
Definitely. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much, Charles.
Listen, Kevin, we are coming towards the end of it. We got about 30 seconds here. How do we find out more about the Fairfax Education Association?
Sure. You can come on to our Facebook page, Fairfax Education Association. We are at FEA underscore Fairfax. And we are also online at fairfaxea.org.
Fairfaxea.org. There you go. Kevin, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Stay on top of it. And again, if there's anything we can do, let us know and we'll help you out. In the meantime, you're more than welcome. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.